This morning, we have a guest joining us with us on the phone. Kelly Rundle is with us this morning. Kelly and his wife, Tammy, they run Fourth Wall Films, and they are just debuting their latest local film called The Barn Raisers this weekend down in the Quad Cities. We want to talk a little bit about that project. Kelly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Good. Was this a fun project to work on?
It was. The project, or the subject, I guess, was suggested to us by someone we interviewed for our third film, Country School, One Room, One Nation. And although I had a connection to country schools through my father, who went to country school in Wisconsin, I had a much closer connection to vintage barns because I grew up exploring my grandfather's barn in Wisconsin, and that barn was built by my great-grandfather.
So always a little bit of a fascination, and barns are kind of part of the fabric of the, especially this part of the country in the upper Midwest, and folks here know them a lot better than folks elsewhere.
Yeah, and I don't know, honestly, if there's a more iconic piece of architecture in America than a barn. And, you know, even though agriculture has moved away from what we think of those structures as barns, the old ones, you can still use a barn, and people do use barns to evoke the notion of agriculture in America. I mean, it's just that ingrained in our culture.
Well, and a lot of folks have this iconic image of what they think a barn should look like, you know, the barn-style roof and all the things that they expect to see. But you've probably now realized in doing a lot of this that a lot of these barns are very unique and very different.
Well, that's true. I think we still think of a barn as a red building with a gambrel roof, and certainly that's the sort of the icon that we think of. But I know for myself, probably the style that I found most fascinating or interesting were the round barns. And they sort of represent a period in American agriculture when people were looking to science and what science might be able to tell us about more efficient farming practices. And so for a time, the round barn sort of reigned supreme as kind of the more progressive style that a farmer might choose. But then later we find that people needed to expand their operation in some way, and the round barn was hard to expand, unlike the sort of more traditional type structures that we think of.
Yeah, I think we can all understand that. You had a lot of information when you put something like this together. You do a lot of research, of course, beforehand. Were people forthcoming in sharing with you a lot of their stories?
They were, and I think, you know, when you have, I like antique cars, for example, and I know the times that we've been to antique car shows that people who spent a lot of time fixing up an old car are eager, you know, to share that story with you and to tell you about their car. And it's the same way with these vintage barns. And oftentimes they're being preserved by a family member who, you know, where a family has a long history with the property, perhaps even the original owners of the property. So, yeah, there's a lot of pride in those buildings. And each of the states that we shot in, that would be Iowa, Kansas, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Ohio, each has a barn organization that's there to help people who are interested in preserving their vintage barn.
And that leads me to one of my other questions I wanted to ask you, too, was about those organizations. There has been quite a push to get out there and preserve some of these structures that in some cases have been neglected and are starting to fall apart, and they're classic pieces of the rural landscape. Are you you're obviously supportive of these types of projects, but these people are really passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right. They are. And we are, too. Just like the country school film, there is a message, if you will, or the notion of barn preservation. And it's not that every barn is going to be saved, but the estimate is that Iowa is losing 1,000 or more vintage barns annually. And, of course, at that kind of a rate, it doesn't take long before your inventory is down to zero. So it's important for those who have the ability to and for those who have the interest in it, you know, to preserve some of those things, because there is no substitute really for being able to step into the real thing and to experience what that's like.
Well, it's pretty impressive when you look out on the landscape that some of these barns have lasted as long as they have.
Well, and that all goes back to the builders, and that's one of the things we're trying to get at in the film, is who were these builders? And it's a little bit mysterious, if you will, about some of the more common traveling-type barn builders. We really don't know who they were. There are other instances. I mentioned the round barns, where we have some builders who are sort of famous or well-known at their time. And we have in the film, too, some examples of barns that were actually designed by architects, including one designed by Frank Lloyd Wright that's in Wisconsin at Taliesin. But the builders were, there just aren't a lot of records, and it's kind of interesting. You find their marks inside the barn and the way that they built the barn. And they were built in that old timber frame style, many of them, the early barns, and that's an old method that was in use by humanity for 5,000 years. And a barn that was built with that method and it's well-maintained is going to last several hundred years.
Kelly, you and your wife have done quite a bit of work with some of these iconic structures out there. You alluded to the film that you did about the country schoolhouses and things like that. What is it about those types of things that makes you and your wife so passionate about telling these stories?
Well, it really is about the story. And we previewed the barn film in Iowa and three other states, an earlier version of the film. And at the last showing, in Johnston, I told the audience, I said, the film that we're about to show you isn't really about barns. And there was a little bit of a gasp, you know, but it's really about people. And it's how we as people, or how people in the past have interacted with a barn or a schoolhouse or whatever building it might be. If we're just talking about a building, it may not be so interesting. But along with that building, there's a whole history of the way people have interacted with it, and those are the stories that we hope to preserve.
You bet. When folks come to watch this presentation, what do you hope they come away with from it?
The film is not really designed for a person who might be what I would call a barn expert, for example. And I wouldn't say it's even designed for someone who has a history with a barn. It is designed for someone who maybe doesn't have any connection to a barn at all. That doesn't mean other people with awareness of that experience won't appreciate and understand things even better. But that's who we're trying to get to. You know, if we can get to somebody who's used to driving on the freeway and passing barns and having no feeling or no idea of what went on in that building, then, you know, we've done our job.
Folks in the Quad Cities got a chance this weekend to enjoy this presentation. Are you working on other showings? How will folks have a chance to view this?
We are just looking for invitations at this point, so we hope that people will invite us to show the film in their area. We always do a number of showings in various venues, and it'll be released on DVD, and we're doing some streaming online these days as well. And then we hope that the film will air on Iowa Public Television as well.
Well, that sounds pretty exciting then.
Yeah, we're looking forward to sharing it. It's been the end of a long journey. About 3 years, and so we're excited to share the final product.
Well, I know we've enjoyed some of the presentations that you folks have put together here locally, too, and some of your past projects, so hopefully we get a chance to see some of those here in our theaters.
Yeah, we hope so, and we're just looking for invitations at this point. We do have some preliminary plans to have the film shown in Michigan and Ohio and Wisconsin, so we're looking forward to sharing it in other places in the state of Iowa.
So we just need folks out here to put some pressure on the local theaters, huh?
There you go.
All right, very good. Kelly, are you working on another project now?
We are. 2 years ago, we shot our first docudrama. That's a regular movie, I guess you'd say. And it's based on a true story, though. It's about the early years of Harriet Beecher Stowe in Cincinnati, and where Harriet witnessed the first public debates about the abolition of slavery in America. So that's a film that we've been eager to, it's kind of sitting on the shelf, and we're eager to edit that film and finish it up. We've also been working on we were commissioned to do a visitor center film for South Dakota's newest state park, a park called Good Earth at Blood Run. And Blood Run is a national historic site that has connections to the Iowa. And so that's kind of how we got involved in that project.
Sounds like you've got a lot of interesting work to do. Do you learn a lot when you do these projects?
We do. We do. And what's great is that there, for us, is that there's a little family in a way that forms around each project, and we develop relationships that we hope will last a lifetime, and so that's kind of an added bonus.
We get a little education with our entertainment. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Very good. Well, Kelly Rundle, you and your wife, Tammy, hope you have a lot of success with this, the project called The Barn Raisers. Hope you get a chance to enjoy that. Maybe we'll get a chance to see it here locally, and most certainly, hopefully, public television will have an opportunity for us there very soon as well. Thank you so much for your time and continued success.
Thank you.